Yeah, looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T. Yeah. Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll top forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah. What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. And this SRT crew is in the building. Thanks for tuning in for another great episode, because we got a lot to talk about tonight. Boy, boy, boy. One great thing is, got my main man back in the studio. Yes, sir. D-Wheel, the coach, is back in the building. If you want to holler at him or holler at us, please give us a call, 404-603-8770. Get something off your chest. Make sure you go to our website, srtradio.com. And we are here each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check us out on iHeartRadio TuneIn app, or you can go to am1100.com to check out the show as well. Or, and if you got to get in your car, please tune in to the AM 1100 station on the dial. I'm your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. Got my main man, Hancock, the sports superhero, is in the building with us. And, of course, as I mentioned before, my main man, D-Wheel, the coach, with a fresh haircut.
Yeah.
Looking smooth.
Yeah.
Weezy, how's it going, baby? You got some fans been missing you, things of that nature.
Hey, everything is everything. I'm glad to be back. It killed me to miss them 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Gotta understand. But yeah, I'm back and I'm ready to talk some sports, man. I got a lot to get off my chest.
So you built up.
Yeah.
Well, I can say this. Them Bama balls didn't let you down.
Hey, not at all, man. Not at all. We gave up 3 points the entire time I wasn't on the show. And I wanted to say so much stuff. But we gave up 3 points in those two games, and we came down to earth a little bit against Texas A&M, but that's about it.
But let me ask y'all this before we move on. Why is it no one is talking about David Harris, the running back from Alabama?
Damian Harris. It's because we're Alabama.
He
wasn't supposed to be the next one in succession, though. He was supposed to be the big boy nine.
Exactly. But
Scarborough.
He continued. He's had multiple injuries since being at Bama. Damian Harris, if you know, he played his freshman year and got a lot of carries. He was the backup.
Right.
You know? So he's been there, but to see him grow up into the man he is right now?
Yeah.
Oh, man. But why is he not? He should be getting some kind of, you know, give him some press.
He ain't gonna get that sugar because, like I said, he's kind of like come on the scene unexpected.
Yeah.
If it was Scarborough, they'd be all over him right now because of the name and they knew about it.
Exactly. Right.
Now Tutu,
yeah,
he might jump Scarborough next year.
Najee,
yeah,
Najee. It's very possible.
You see, so I don't know Scarborough, but like I said, Big Boy, he was the one won the Heisman.
Mark Ingram?
No, before
Henry.
Henry.
Oh,
to me, Henry came on slow into that last part, and then he just blew up and just dominated. So,
yep.
But I don't think
it could happen with Scarborough.
I don't think Bo's that type of back. I believe he is your red zone short distance.
But see, that's what I was thinking about. I didn't see the wiggle.
But I'm gonna tell you what something that Bo Scarborough does that people don't realize. he's a second leading receiver on Alabama's team. Yeah. He has great. If you watch him, they hit him a lot out of the backfield and get him in the space. And once he gets going downhill, that's when he becomes
a
problem.
Beast, though.
Yeah. Hey man, we got a lot to talk about. More on college football, but we got some hot news coming up here in a second. Then we got my main man, Rain Man, calling in with his picks of the week around 7:30. So stay tuned for that. Ballers and Busters around 7:45, 7:47, somewhere around in that time. And that will end the first hour of the show with our Ballers and Busters. In the second hour of the show, we go talk about at the halfway point or nearing the halfway point and some undefeated teams that are out there still. We go probably talk about the four that we think will still be that will make the college four playoffs. Then there's some one loss teams also that we got to talk about. And of course, we'll delve into the some Falcons talk. What do they need to do better this week as they play the Miami Dolphins? And of course, we got to talk about Jerry Jones. So let me give it this disclaimer first. Hancock and G Money, none of this is personal, but we got to talk like we talk. And we're going to talk about all of that and more.
I'll probably be on your side.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that and more.
That's y'all boss.
Because it's a lot of you stuff that's going on. Exactly. There it is. Hey, man. So, again, thanks for Facebook Live. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for everybody tuning in around the country. Again, if you want to tune in to the show, 404-603-8770. And we'll be off and running. As a matter of fact, speaking of off and running, Z, let's go ahead and get into some of that hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching. Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News, sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, please go on over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp in town, and it is verified. Had a couple of people come in town this past weekend, and we went over there, and be willing to be proud. Crab claws, we got them. Yes, them crab claws appetizers, they are unbelievable. Question number one for the hot news, Hancock. I guess the last couple of weeks, ladies have been in the news for some apparent reason. And this lady has reappeared in the news once again, Jemele Hill, SportsCenter 6, co-host with Michael Hill. She has been suspended by ESPN for 2 weeks.
Mike Smith.
Michael Smith, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Think about Slick Money, brother. But, with Michael Smith, she's been suspended for 2 weeks by ESPN based on some inappropriate tweets to Jerry Jones. Your thoughts?
My thoughts on it are, I guess 45 just doesn't have better things to do, man. Because to me, he's the catalyst for this whole thing. He's made ESPN cave. And, you know, we talk about the First Amendment rights to be able to speak your mind and say things that you want to say.
Right.
But I guess you can only do it when the majority rules with you. And in this case, the majority has, I guess, spoken. And with that, ESPN caved in and made Jemele the scapegoat. I mean, I don't understand. 2 weeks ago, when Cam Newton said female to a reporter, referred to her as a female, and said, wow, it was funny that you could ask a question like that, which at the time I thought was kind of minor. And, I mean, the whole country was up in arms about it. And what Jemele has done is nothing but brought light to what we've seen. This president has done things that you know, you might not be able to just come out and call him racist, but there are racist tendencies.
Right.
There are things that he's done that actually make one who has any kind of sense see that he's always against blacks. I mean, it truly is. What he did was call out the only African-American president. That's how he came to prominence as a politician and never gave that up. And now, like I said, I don't want to skew what you asked me about, but I feel so passionate about this that the country now has taken stuff and skewed whole arguments and used this thing so political. He's done nothing but enhance his base with this thing. That's all he's done is strengthen his base, because he was losing ground. His base was getting off of him, and now he's made Jemele Hill a target. When we're sitting here about to go to war with North Korea, you know, there's certain things that he should be looking into, all the disasters that are happening. He has nothing better to do but attack Jemele Hill. That's crazy.
It is.
So stay strong, Jemele Hill. I hope you're back soon. I hope the people that support her continue to support her.
Exactly.
Because that's what it's going to take.
And we do support her.
Yeah, we do.
In a stance, because we are in the media. You get paid to give your opinions, but if your opinion doesn't agree with the masses, yes. Then you got a problem. Anyway, question number two. D. Will, Vice President Mike Pence.
From good, from bad to worse.
He goes to the Indianapolis game. Former governor of Indianapolis, he goes to the game, walks out of the game within 30 minutes due to more than 24 of the Niners players kneeling during the anthem. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are this was the biggest PR stunt that I've ever seen in my life. Okay? And it's funny when you say it, but the seriousness of it is, our so-called leaders of the free world, of the United States of America, have enough time with everything that's going on in the world to pose a PR stunt at a football game about players protesting police brutality, but you're trying to make it about the military and the flag. So my point is, what's really going on? Right? Vice President Pence, you come to a game and you and the Donald 4-5 talk about it previously. When they take a knee, you're going to walk out. Then he tweets a picture of him at a Colts game in full Colts garment, but the picture's 3 years old. So here's the other thing, going deeper. He was scheduled to fly out at 4:00. That Colts game wasn't going to end till about 4:25, after 4:00. So but his flight left at 4:00. So he would have had to leave prior to. Now, if you notice or not, they did not let his full media team that films him, they didn't let all them in because they couldn't accommodate for them, knowing he was leaving early. Okay? So it was a big PR stunt. They tried to set it up. And it's sad that they're trying to fight a battle, and it's all they're doing is trying to draw a wedge in between blacks and whites, because he already knows blacks agree with this, whites agree with this, house blacks agree with this, extreme racists believe in this. So it's no common ground, so all he's doing is drawing a wedge in between everybody.
And what team did they play, though, D?
The 49ers, which is the team that started the protest in the beginning.
Exactly.
So if your point was, well, the only reason I would go out is because if that team kneels, that's the team that started it.
That's the team that originated it.
So come on.
It was
perfect. It was perfect.
Exactly. And reports are that he told the driver, keep the car running. He not gonna be here long. Crazy. Question number three. G-Money. Big Ben had a lot to say a couple of weeks ago about Antonio Brown. And he comes back this week and throws 5 interceptions. Had a very, very bad game. Is Big Ben done? Or he just had a bad game?
I think mentally he's done. Like his mind doesn't seem to be there. And he barely didn't retire or during the offseason.
Exactly.
So who knows where his head is at. He's snapping at reporters like, you know, don't question my commitment. Even though you said after the game, I don't think I have it anymore. So how are we not supposed to question your commitment at the time? And for him to lose a game that way, and the opposing quarterback only completed 8 passes for less than 100 yards, and Leonard Fournette ran all over their defense, but it was really
fantasy
like
fantasy running back.
How'd you? He's not there. It's something mental to where he's not there, and he's trying to. I don't know. He's got to make a determination now. Do I want to finish the season or just retire right now?
Oh,
well, he hadn't got hurt yet, and you know he's going to get hurt, so maybe that'll give
the
him
annual
some time.
Roethlisberger injury. Yes.
Exactly. Question number 4. I'm gonna let Hancock Andy will go off on this one. The Saints. I think we talked about this earlier, and the destination for Adrian Peterson is the Arizona Cardinals. The Saints traded him for a conditional pick to the Arizona Cardinals. Hancock, who wins in this?
Without a doubt, AP wins. He gets to play. I mean,
and they cut Chris Johnson.
Right. And, well, Chris was done anyway.
Yeah.
And AP is not AP, or all AD, AP, whatever you want to call him. Right. He's not the same back that he's been in prior years. But honestly, I think there's still some tread on the tires. You know, I mean, he's probably. Maybe top, he's in the top 6, top 10 running back still in the game today, given a chance, I believe.
Right.
So what he does is allow Arizona to play action again, because now you can put the ball in his stomach and play action off him and throw the ball downfield. It's going to help the deep game. It'll help
Fitzgerald
immensely now, because he's been coming out of the slot a lot. So now if you got a back like AD, when you have to honor the play fake. So I think that allows them to be a better football team. Now, Carson Palmer is pretty much on the downside of his career. This might help him because he had been looking bad. Mm-hmm. So at least now he should be able to turn around and get a ball to AD at least 15, 20 times a game, run some play action with him, so it should help. So I look for it to be a win situation for Arizona and for AP.
Okay.
After the first week, we knew this was not going to work in New Orleans. Well, maybe even in the preseason.
Yeah. And 81 yards total rushing.
Only, what, 20-something carries?
Yeah, in his Saints career.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, D-Will, go ahead and take a stab at that for me. Who wins in this?
Most definitely is Adrian Peterson, by far. Because his lasting memory in New Orleans is going to be the death stare that he put on head coach Sean Payton when he wanted to get in the game against the Vikings,
exactly.
First game of the season on Monday Night Football. So you knew in that game when they didn't feed him in a game of that magnitude with him going back, for them not, you knew the writing was on the wall of what was going to happen. So like you say, he gets to go to Arizona. I'm going to tell you, I think Carson Palmer's done. He's about as done as Ben Roethlisberger. So if AD can give him something so they can get an extra look, a different look, because even that defense in playing like it has been in the hole. So I don't know if he's going to – I don't think he's going to bolster them into a playoff team.
No. Nope.
Let me say that.
I don't think
so.
In that division, too?
In that division. That's right. One of the hardest divisions in football. So, hey – it's good for him because he's gonna like Hancock said, he's gonna get to play.
Yep.
As long as he can play, he's good.
Some would say the Arizona team would need a little Ben Gay before they start playing, because they have some old players. All right, question number 5, last question of the hot news, G Money. The Giants lose Odell Beckham for the season. They lose a couple of other receivers in the same game.
Marshall's out for the season.
Shepard. Well, he's out. He was knocked out of the game.
Yeah, he's out for day to day.
And Dwayne Harris, their kick returner, he's out for the season.
He's out for the season also.
Yes, done.
I didn't know he was out.
So we got 3 out for the season, and Sterling Shepard is day to day.
Ooh, I hope they own the club.
Better pick Sterling Shepard up. He's gonna get a bulk of the kick.
Exactly.
Oh
my team, but you got to play. But so G. Would you sign T.O., Chad Johnson, or Calvin Johnson?
No, no, and no.
I'm going to say, T.O. eligible for the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Well, he ain't made it yet. So.
Yeah, he's not there yet. I wouldn't sign T.O. The last time we saw him, preseason with the Seahawks, Russell Wilson's rookie year, we saw him drop a wide-open touchdown pass.
Right.
The last time we saw Chad Johnson on the field, he got fired in front of the whole world, or at least the country, on Hard Knocks. He is on Madden 18 in the long shot mode, if anyone is concerned about that. And Calvin Johnson, Detroit's not going to let him go. Like, if he tried to play again, Detroit would have his rights. Right. So they would have to trade him, and they don't want to do that. They're just as bitter as he is.
So the Giants just up the creek at this point.
Look, they need to start scouting Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen and Lamar Jackson. Just start scouting quarterbacks and let's rebuild.
Would you move if Jacksonville called? Would you move
Eli
Manning this week, this season?
Trade Manning to Jacksonville? I don't know. I'm kind of leery about doing trades in season, especially with the quarterback. But I mean, I at least listen, see what they got.
I mean, you put Manning in Jacksonville with the defense they got and the run game they got. Because they don't have a quarterback. That's the problem.
Yeah, Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles is hard.
Yeah, he is bad.
But just think, if Eli competent, being there with that offense.
Tom Coughlin,
is slowly turning that organization into a football organization.
Yeah. Yep. And they got some defense, too. So
they got some.
Oh, Jack Miles ran a touchdown, but is it Miles Jack?
Miles Jack from
UCLA.
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, that'll do it for the hot news sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. Please go over to the Big Easy Grill if you're looking for the best seafood, New Orleans seafood in town. The crab claws, how to put them up there in the top three along with the shrimp. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. All right, now it's time to get to our rankings as we do every week. Our main man, sports superhero, got you with the SRT Power 10.
All college football polls matter? Not at the Sports Roundtable. It's time for the SRT Power 10.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the SRT Power 10. In this week's Power 10, the top four has a new entry, and that entry would be the Georgia Bulldogs coming in at number four. At number three, we have the Penn State Nittany Lions. At number two, we have the Clemson Tigers. And again, unanimously, number one, the Alabama Crimson Tide. At number five, we have the Washington Huskies. At number six, we have the Wisconsin Badgers. At number seven, we have the TCU Horned Frogs. At number eight, there's a tie with the Washington State Cougars and the Auburn Tigers. At number nine, we have the Ohio State Buckeyes. And holding on, with a big loss this week. At number 10 are the Oklahoma Sooners. A couple of things we want to look at in our top 10 this week. The biggest drop was the aforementioned Oklahoma Sooners dropped from number 3 to number 10. Michigan actually dropped out of the rankings.
Good.
They were beaten at home by the Michigan State Spartans. Let's see. A new entry into the Power 10 are the Auburn Tigers coming in this week with a tie at number 8. Notable games this week that'll be ramping up this week in our Power 10. Let's see. We have the Washington State traveling to Cal as a 14.5-point favorite. TCU looks to host Kansas State, a 6-point favorite. Auburn goes to Death Valley. LSU coming off a big win. Maybe they've righted the ship, so we'll see what happens down there. There's a lot of unrest down there, but that big win kind of helps.
Help my boy come back and see what happens. Yeah, we were Tigers.
So we'll see what happens down there at Death Valley. Let's see, Oklahoma coming off a big loss goes into the Red River Shootout against Texas. So we'll look at that one. That should be a pretty good football game. Oklahoma will be favored right now 7.5. And the Wisconsin Badgers play Purdue at home, going in as a 16.5 point favorite. Shouldn't be much of a battle. Purdue is kind of like, I guess you can call it rebuilding mode, coming in with a new coach and everything. So we'll see what happens with them.
Yeah.
That rounds out your top 10 for this week.
All right. There it is, the SRT Power 10. If you want to check those out, you can follow us on Twitter at SRT Radio and check that out as well. You can check all of our social media. Or you can go to the website and also check that out at srtradio.com. Other news before we go to commercial break, the MLB playoffs are in full fledged. And right now, today, the top of the eighth inning, the Washington Nationals is beating the Cubs 5-0.
Wow.
And that will tie the series up, so they will have a win or go home in their next game. And tonight, it is a win or go home. The Yankees and the Cleveland Indians at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That's some entertaining baseball, man. Yeah, I must admit. There have been some great games.
It has been great. It's been some great, great games. CeCe is going tonight for the Yankees against Corey Kluber.
Kluber got shelled last game.
Yeah, he did. He got shelled last game. Judge turned it up a little bit after being in a minor slump.
Well, they're pitching him. You can see the way they're pitching. They're pitching him up and in early in the count and then down the way. And then when they do throw
the chase.
They got him thinking so much. When they give him something to hit, he's letting it go by.
Yeah.
So I think he just needs to go out and be more aggressive early in the count.
Yeah.
And see. Cause we'll see.
Or not try to hit home runs on every pitch.
That's all he got.
Yeah. Well,
hey, if you got a Ferrari, baby, what you do with a Ferrari, baby? You drive it hard, come on. So hey, you know you got to do what you got to do. I let him swing for the fences. That's what he there for.
They let him swing.
Yeah.
All right, so it'll be interesting tonight. So make sure y'all check that out. And barring a miracle, looks like the Cubs will take this L tonight to the Washington Nationals. All right, when we get back from break, we got our main man, Slick Money, the Rain Man, calling in to give his picks of the week. But before we go, I do have to mention the thoughts on Wiggins and Embiid getting paid. D-Will, your thoughts on that real quick.
Wiggins, I can understand. That 5-year, $148 million, that's been in the works for all throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
They're just now getting it done. That was always the number that came up, was 5 and $148 million. That's I think that's the max for his years of tenure in the league. But the Embiid is kind of shocking to me.
Yeah.
Like, he only played 21 games last year, still. And I know Hancock's like, hey, look good in them 21 games.
Yeah.
I understand that. But to pay him, knowing he has the issues, knowing what the Sixers have called the process is going on right now, to give him that money now when you could have waited, I think it's a risky move. It's a risky move, to say the least.
And Hancock always the one to say, well, he got value. Maybe you can get something for him.
The only thing about when you look at Embiid, and that you're right. But the thing you look at Embiid right now, he's actually interesting. You see what I'm saying? I mean, he's a follower on Twitter. They love him. He's a social media man, and what do you call him? A tool, garden tool.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing about it is he allows them to be relevant. And if he does blossom, and I think he's always be hurt. I'm gonna be honest with you. But they got to
thank you.
They got to pay somebody.
Yeah.
You know, they have a floor that they have to meet. So. Yeah.
You're right. All right, man. We're going to take a real quick break. We come back. Rain Man, go ahead.
But they do say they got a catastrophic injury clause in his contract.
Oh, you best believe they're going to protect himself.
Got to do that. Hey, man, you listen to the Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network. Saturday afternoons in the fall, a great time to enjoy football, friends,
and the best New Orleans seafood restaurant in Atlanta. What could make a Saturday better than that? How about the best sports talk radio show in Atlanta? That's right. Every third Saturday will be SRT Saturdays at the Big Easy Grill, located at 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta. Join us at our next event on October 21st from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. Come by and meet the crew of the hottest sports talk radio show in Atlanta. We'll be talking sports, of course, and we'll also have trivia contests where you can win prizes. That's Sports Roundtable Saturday on October 21st at the Big Easy Grill, located at 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta. We hope to see you there.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
Zach in a
diss track.
Yeah. Bars.
Bars.
Yeah.
Bars.
Hey, G, did you like the diss track, though, from Zach?
It was all right.
Oh, come on, G. Come on, G.
I mean, it sounded like 1994, but...
He 40. What do you want?
Actually, 45. Yeah.
Thank you. You want him to go? Like, he can't go on there and turn up like Lil Uzi Vert. You feel me? He can't give you Playboy Cardi. He gave you, he gave you hip hop bars. Hey, he gave you Foo Snickers.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Are you ready for some football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
Well, get ready, because it's time for the Rain Man's Picks of the Week.
Sports Roundtable back. You can listen to it each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on the phone each and every week, we have our main man calling in. Well, he was calling in. Let's see. Oh, he'll be calling right back. But there we go. There we go. But our main man, Rain Man, will be calling in. He had a pretty rough week last week.
To say the least.
Yeah, thank you. The lock didn't cover. The Houston, the Navy didn't. Duke didn't do anything. Boy, it's just a rough week. Rough week. But hey, listen, as he always say,
bounce back day.
Yeah. Bounce back
bounce,
week.
Bounce, bounce, bounce.
And we got our man on the phone, Rain Man. What's up, Slick Money?
What's up, SRT crew?
Slick Money.
Slick.
Let me get it for the girls. Get it, baby.
Yes, look at God.
Hey, Snake, they say you went 1-4 last week, bro. This is a bounce-back week for you. So I hope you got some fours this week. Looking at who's playing, I'm pretty sure you got some up your sleeve. So let's go ahead and start off with your lock of the week this week.
I haven't really been doing too good with college. I mean, I need to give up on college.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the too emotional, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to the NFL. Even though the flag and all that stuff is a controversy at the moment, but I think NFL have been more consistent. I'm going to Kansas City, Missouri. I'm like Pittsburgh Steelers plus six.
What?
Pittsburgh yes. plus six.
Yes. I think that the Big Ben and all that turmoil going on with them, I think they finally get together and play a good game. I like Pittsburgh plus six.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying they don't win the game. Now I think they're going to cover six.
Right. I got you. I got you. All right. Give me your upset pick this week.
I'm staying in the pros. Like I told you, they're a little bit more stable and they're millionaires.
There you go.
So I'm gonna go with the Los Angeles Rams. They are underdogs. They're getting three. I think Jacksonville just give me the clap and tail. Now, knocking them, I think the Rams are a better team than Jacksonville. The Rams for three.
Rams plus three versus Jacksonville. All right. All right, give me the game that's going to be like a no-brainer, a blowout game. Like, it's not even going to be close as soon as the game starts.
Well, you know, as soon as you say that, it's going to be close when I pick you the team. Well, this time, I'm going to the college ranks. I'm going down to Tampa here. I don't think North Carolina Tar Heels is good at all. It's definitely not basketball season. So I'm going to take the Virginia Cavaliers to go into North Carolina and beat them by four. The spread is four. I think Virginia win by at least seven or more.
Okay. Well, the spread is four?
Yeah, the spread is four. And that could change, but right now it's four.
Four, okay. Virginia is four. All right. I know you got some bonuses. Give me a little something that can get Boogie through some tuition.
I totally get you there. I hope he ain't caught listening.
I'm listening.
I kind of was very disappointed in Navy last week to give up a 24-21 point lead
right
to Air Force. I think Memphis is better than Air Force and Navy. Navy is getting four going to Memphis, but I think Memphis can win that game. So I like Memphis to cover that spread against Navy.
Could that be a money line pick, Slick? Think they might win that game?
I think you should put your money on Memphis. That's all I can say.
Okay. What's the line on that?
Yeah, I think it's four right now. Navy getting four. They're not that good, man. They play no defense at all.
Yeah, I can tell. What about the over in that game? You like the over in that game as well?
Yeah, that could be good because Memphis known to drop 50 on you quick.
Right, I agree. And I got some other stuff about Memphis coming up later in the show. You got any other bonuses or anything else you can tell us for this week?
I got two college games I think is kind of strange. I think South Carolina goes into Knoxville and beats Tennessee. I think this is a game where Bush Jones gets fired.
Ooh.
I think South Carolina go. Tennessee is not good at all. Nah. I think South Carolina going there. And Tennessee is my homeboy. Mm-hmm. I just think South Carolina is better than them. I think this is the game that Bush Jones get fired if they lose.
Yeah, they not only homeboy, they homecoming. Everybody wants homecoming.
Hey, H-M-3.
Yeah.
And the last game, I did say I think like South Carolina is going to knock their winning. And last one, I think, is kind of strange. When the last time you seen Georgia State an 8-point underdog?
Yeah, you're right.
San Diego State is pretty good, but I think they do to have a letdown at some point. Somebody don't feel good. So I like Georgia State plus the 8.
Wow. Boise. And where they playing the game at?
It's at San Diego.
Boise plus 8.
Shout out Penny, baby.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah, and what was that good South Carolina spread?
The spread of South Carolina plus 1 going to Memphis. So it's probably a pick-em game.
Tennessee, okay. Cool. That'll work. Well, Slick, man, we really appreciate it, man. All that you do. I hope someone listens and wins some money. And if you want to drop your PayPal account off on the show and let them know where they can reward you, go ahead and let that be known. But if not, go ahead and give any shout-outs that you have or anything of that nature.
Well, if you still have to win any cupcakes from me, just remember you got Vegas Strong, you got hurricanes going on. Just send your donations to them.
Okay. He said donate it to them. All right.
Yeah, you know, California wildfire is crazy. That's the crazy thing I've seen.
Yeah, it is. That is crazy.
Man, hey, HM3, I love you. Jay Smooth, Hancock, D-Wizzle, Greg, I love you guys. Y'all doing a great job. And hopefully we'll get some winners this week.
There you go, man.
Yes, sir.
We all appreciate right, it, Slick Money. We'll holler at you next week, bro.
Okay, appreciate it, guys.
All right. There it is, Slick Money giving his picks. He taking Pittsburgh over KC plus 6 this week. The Rams plus 3 over Jacksonville. And he's taking Virginia against UNC. Virginia is a 4-point favorite. He's taking Memphis over Navy. I mean, is it Navy? You said Navy.
Navy.
Play Navy, yeah. And Memphis is a 4-point favorite in that game, in South Carolina plus 1 versus Tennessee. Kind of a pick'em game, and I don't know what to make of South Carolina at this point. They just so up and down.
They playing pretty good, actually. If you look at the schedule, they I think only one game this year where they probably should have won, they didn't. Because I think what they're about 4-2 or something like that. 3-2.
Nah, they may be 3-2.
3-2.
3-2. Yeah.
So they,
and like I said, they're unpredictable. They've had flashes for looking good. Yeah, exactly.
You don't know.
Oh, they won.
They don't
me
have
twice.
An identity.
They won for me twice this year.
Well, yeah, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, but the problem is the best offensive player they had has been hurt. Right. Got hurt. But what was the wide receiver? Whatever his name is,
Debo Wilson. Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel.
He's been injured, so he kind of like is their offense.
Yeah, he was their entire offense. Yeah.
And then you got Boise State plus +8. He's picking against San Diego State. Now, San Diego State has surprised some folks, probably. They had a decent squad last year, but they are actually showing out. They obviously replaced their running back with
Rashad Penny. Is an NFL running back.
He is an NFL running back.
He is truly an NFL back, and you will see him on Sunday.
Yes. So, I don't know. Boise State have problems traveling.
Boise State is not – this ain't your daddy's Boise State.
Yeah,
they ain't I agree same. With that. Now, they did run up on – they beat you BYU brains out a couple weeks back, which I didn't see coming. But I've seen them play a couple of times this year, and they're kind of up and down also.
Mm-hmm.
I think the quarterback situation, Rippin, they don't know who to play, Rippin between him and the guy Colton, who's transferred from Kansas. So, kind of up. Now, they got a big-time wide receiver whose dad – I think played at Tennessee back in the day. Charlie or whatever his name. But I think his dad played back at Tennessee. So he's a second generation football player. He's pretty good. And he looks like he's going to play on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, real quick, let's go ahead and give our picks, our own picks, just to give some reference in case you didn't like those games. I'm actually going North Carolina State versus Pitt. I'm actually taking Pitt in this game. They're at home, and their offense has been looking better. NC State is favored by 12. A 12-point underdog at home. I got to ride with Pittsburgh in that one.
What'd you do last week on your pick? You remember? See if I want to ride with you this week.
I can't remember who I picked, but I got another one. I'm taking Minnesota over Michigan State this week.
Okay.
And they're at home. Minnesota is at home.
What they getting?
Plus +3. Minnesota plus +3.
Okay.
So those are my two picks. I got one pick and a bonus. All right, Han.
Yeah, I'm going in the NFL. I'm going to take the Patriots minus -9.
No, Brady got a show.
Look, they're playing the Jets.
Oh.
And the Jets cannot score. They're pretty. I mean, they got a decent defense, but I think playing the Patriots will be a taxing toll. They'll be on the field too long. Even though the Patriots defense is not what we normally expect out of them, playing the Jets, you can get healthy. I'm taking the Patriots minus it. Now, I think they ring that register this week. They'll put up about 35-40. You know, sometimes they send messages.
Right.
And I think this is a message week. That they'll
see. All right, G, what you got on your picks for this week?
Okay. Sorry, got a little distracted. All right, so with my pick, I'm going with in the NFL, the Giants and the Broncos. It is the Broncos minus -11.5. I'm going to take that. Eli has no one to throw to.
Nobody.
They can't run the ball. They can't pass block. They can't run block.
And they don't have a corner this week. He kicked Cromartie. Oh, yeah.
And Cromartie got suspended. Well, he wanted to leave.
Yeah,
he walked out. So it's like, you can't quit. You're fired. Wow. So the Giants are in all kind of disarray, and it's just disgusting. So Denver should be able to feast on that.
Yep, and that game is at Denver, I'm assuming.
It has to be.
Yes, and it is on Sunday night. So,
Is it Sunday? They couldn't flex it.
They tried. They couldn't flex it.
It's too early in the season.
They couldn't even flex it.
All right, D-Way, what you got for me?
My one pick is a upset alert.
Uh-oh.
Book it. I'm taking Georgia Tech.
Love
plus
it.
+5.5.
Love it.
Miami. Ooh. Coming off that big win versus FSU.
Love it.
I see a letdown with Miami, and this is the hardest offense to come off of when you don't have time to prepare.
Love
it. I got Georgia Tech plus 5.5.
Love it.
Miami.
And Walton is out.
And Walton is out.
Oh, so he's out? They said he's out. Oh, he was kind of.
Love it.
Yep.
That's a great pick.
That's mine. Put it in the bank.
So you don't think Mark Richt is.
I think what we see all the time with the big win coming off that. They hadn't beaten Florida State in 7 years.
Yeah.
Now going to play a team like Georgia Tech running that bone with that option.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be pretty. They're not going to stop that option all day. Now, they'll probably score some points, mm-hmm. but they won't stop Georgia Tech all day, I don't believe. And if they do, it'll probably be the first two or three possessions.
Right.
And then by that time, he'll get that little piece of paper out and get behind the offense. And that's one. He calls plays, man. He'll just keep doing it until he finds that crack.
Right.
Yep. And you'll see it. Probably about midway the second quarter, they're going to start running them down the field.
And the best time to catch Georgia Tech is a bowl game.
When
you got time to prepare. If you got 1 week, especially if you're coming off an emotional week like that, that's going to be hard for Miami. Mark Richt.
Yeah. And he knows it. He's faced him with Georgia all those years. He always had problems.
He
knows it.
Exactly. And that is a great pick. I do like that pick.
I'm taking that one.
Miami probably partied for, 3 days?
That one.
Mm-hmm. They probably still partying.
Yeah.
7 years? 7 years?
Yeah.
That's surprising, though, to be honest. That rivalry.
Now, I must say, Miami has a clear-cut shot to the ACC championship game and possibly a Final Four. If they can win out. So this is a huge game for them because they've already beat Florida State. They have nobody else to play until they meet Clemson in the championship game.
I still don't think they're as good as people are saying they are. I've watched the
schedule just lines up.
Yeah, they caught Florida State without a quarterback. True. You know, and Florida State season has been over ever since the first game of the year with Alabama. So, I mean, I the Duke game surprised me that they beat Duke handedly
they
did.
Yeah, they did.
That was pretty impressive. But this past week, they, you know, even with Florida State being down, it was a last second win. I mean, it was a great game. They went to Duke Campbell and won. So you can't take anything away from that. It's a big win. But I just don't see the same strong Miami teams that not even of the 80s. I mean, not of the 90s. I mean, you're talking about the Michael Irvin type years.
They're not built like. But their schedule lines up for them in this new age system to have a clear shot to the Final Four if they can win out and get to the ACC championship.
That's true. All right. Speaking of that, we are now about to head into one of my favorite segments. It is now time for Ballers and Busters.
Other radio shows may have their players of the week, but at the Sports Roundtable, we have our ballers.
Ballin'.
And our busters.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
Ballers and Busters, sponsored by Real Talk Tees. Got a shirt for every mood. If you want to get a t-shirt, please go to realtalktees.bigcartel.com. There it is. My baller this week is a co-baller. And I guess I had to put it this way because they connected a lot of times. My baller this week goes out to Riley Ferguson and a quarterback for Memphis and wide receiver Anthony Miller. They put up some PlayStation numbers. Ferguson, 34 out of 48, 431 yards with 7 touchdowns. Yeah.
Miller has a chance to be special.
Yes, he does.
Seriously, it's next. He's got great hands.
He
makes catches. Reminds me of Sterling Sharp.
That's what he reminds me of. And Memphis won 70-31 against Utah.
It was like video game. I watched
it.
Helped me on the fruit cup.
Almost like a basketball score. Yeah, but Anthony Miller had 15 catches for 224 yards with 4 touchdowns. So that's my ball of the week. And he had some very, very good catches as well as Hancock Ford mentioned. One one-hand catch grab that was just unbelievable. All right.
My baller goes out to Aaron Rodgers, and we've talked about this in the past where he gets a lot of acclaim as being so great, and I was kind of a little detracted from that. But these past few weeks have shown me playing behind the line that he has and the calmness with which he plays. You know, coming back, he beat Dallas on the last minute 20 second drive.
Heartbreaker.
That I don't know why they threw the ball to give him that much time. To me, that's a whole nother story, and I'm sure we'll talk about some things like that. But to leave him that much time, he beat him in the playoffs last year, then turn around and did it again. And the calm with which he plays, like I said, the play before the touchdown, he threw out to Davante Adams, and he had it in the wrong spot. It was a little low. So Adams came back and told him, basically throw it again. He told him, okay. And when you can throw the ball where you want it, whenever you want it, it's a special gift.
Yeah.
I mean, his arm talent is second to none. And I'm not just talking about now. I'm talking about ever. When you watch him throw the football, he'll throw it from angles where his body is out of alignment. It doesn't matter. And he just knows. He knows when he's going to score, basically. He was on the Dan Patrick show, and Dan Patrick asked him, said, well, are there times in the game where you come to and you say you just know when you're going to score? He said, yeah. He said, about how many? He said, like 70% of the time I can tell when it's going to be a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And he said it might be because of the coverage, might be some I can recognize before the play starts, and I know it's going to be a touchdown. But just that drive, man, and his stats were not all of that. But just to come down the field and win the game because you know you can, the way you did it, Aaron Rodgers is my baller, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, G.
Yeah, that the back shoulder throw, ooh, it's like he invented it. it's unguardable. All right. My baller of the week is from the college ranks. And it is Khalil Tate, quarterback for Arizona.
Yes. He did his
pull up his numbers here. Also some PlayStation-like numbers. In a 45-42 win over Colorado, 12 of 13, 154 yards and a touchdown. And also 14 carries, 327 yards and 4 touchdowns, setting the record for most rushing yards by a quarterback, breaking Jordan Lynch's record at Northern Illinois. To do it on, like, he's averaging, that's 23 yards a carry every time he takes off.
Wow.
And Colorado couldn't do anything about it.
Well, only Rich Rod had him at Michigan. Golly. Yeah, he put up some good numbers, man. That was special. Sick. All right, D-Will, who you got for your ball?
Oh, I'm going to be a homer today because I just feel like it, because I can. I'm going with Damian Harris. But just not for this one game. This one game, he had 14 carries, 124 yards, 1 touchdown. Granted, that touchdown was 75 yards, which was dynamic, okay? But over the last 3 weeks, we're talking 33 carries, 342 yards, 4 touchdowns, 10.3 yards a carry. That is Alabama's averaging over 300 yards per game rushing. They don't have to throw the ball. When you can stop the run and then the other team cannot stop you from running, that's a recipe for championships. Just not wins, but championships. And I've seen a lot of these prognosticators on these four who have dropped Alabama to number 2 behind Clemson. A lot of them have. They even got 18 votes in the AP this past week. But we all know when the sugar comes to the top of the toilet, you know what it's going to look like.
Okay.
That's a new one for
that's
you.
A new
yeah,
one,
that's a new
yes.
one.
Yes. Sugar in the toilet.
Sugar in the toilet. I'll tell you later.
All right, then. All right, for my bust of this week, pretty obvious, goes to the Oklahoma's defense. I mean, atrocious. Now, if you allow to me, Iowa State, third string quarterback, to put up 368 yards passing and possibly put you out of contention of making it 4, Iowa State, Bob Stoops is not the coach anymore, but they Bob Stoops. this past weekend.
His brother's DC.
Yeah, well,
it's, there it is. Still some stupids on the. It's still some stoops on the roster.
So, Kyle Kent. They just torched Oklahoma's defense this past week.
Right.
It was unbelievable. I mean, they was, what, a 30-point favorite.
At home.
Yeah, they was looking for the they was looking ahead of Texas, so. But that's my bust
like
of the
week. Texas is a juggernaut.
Yeah.
Pretty much what you said. I had Oklahoma written also, and you know, I almost went with Kemp as the baller because of what he did. And like you said, 368. You up 14 points twice in this game and got beat at home. So, yeah, I agree with you. I had Oklahoma written. There's nothing else to say.
Exactly. IG, your buster for this week?
Mine is, well, clearly it's Ben Roethlisberger. I know we talked about him earlier.
Go with G.
There was this, it reminds me of this this podcast I listened to a while ago, and they had a segment. It was more about basketball, but it was called the Allen Iverson Award. It was basically like a stat line that led the team to a loss.
Oh.
And that was definitely a stat line that led the team to a loss. Yeah, 33 of 55. He was over 300 yards, but five interceptions. Two of them returned for touchdowns. And what, like I said earlier, when the other quarterback doesn't even break 100 yards, you know it was – it's all on how the – how. It was turnovers. Who caused the turnovers? Roethlisberger did. Damn. So, Buster.
Did you call him a Buster?
Good call.
All right, D. Will, your Buster this week.
I'm actually going to stay in the NFL with my Buster, and it is the New York Giants as an entire football organization. From the top to the bottom. Because from the rooter to the tutor. It's like, don't you know when you trip and you get to falling and you seen somebody? Have you seen them girls walking heels and then they, in one break and they just can't get it?
It's go down.
That's the New York Giants. They are a chick that can't walk in heels. You understand? Because I just don't understand. It's like once one thing happened, it was a snowball effect. They lost three wide receivers in one game, all to ankle injuries.
Yeah.
All in one game. And they were already playing at their worst. Now, I'm gonna eat crow. In our preseason predictions, I predicted the New York Giants to win the division. I did. Because on paper, coming into the season, with everything together, that wide receiver core would add Brandon Marshall with Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard with another year with Eli, you would expect them to be good. But with the lack of the running game, they never were able to find a running back, and they just hit rock bottom. And the coach, what's his name? It just slipped my mind.
McAdoo.
He looks like he's in over his head. He's a great offensive coordinator, but he is not the guy for that job, especially being in New York with that press and that pressure. It doesn't make sense. They need to make a move and make it fast.
Do you think that Odell should not have played in the preseason and held out and gone and got his money? Now you're looking at an injury that, I mean, he's still probably going to get his money.
It's a break, so that's a good thing. It's not a ligament. It's not a knee. It's not a tear. It's not something that he has to get fixed that can become a lingering injury. Mm-hmm. With it being a break of the upper ankle, what is it? I think it's his tib. I think it's tibia.
Then I heard it was an ankle, so I don't know exactly what it is.
Exactly, because they're not being honest. I heard ankle, and then I heard tibia. So, but the good thing about it is it's a break.
And we don't know if it's ligament damage, though. Did you see it, though?
Yeah,
it looked bad.
It was squint.
It looked bad. So I'm just saying, you know, they get on these players about, you know, you ought to come in. But he played for 1.8 this year.
Yeah.
Being top three in the league at that position.
Mm-hmm.
So he should have been paid like a top three.
Exactly.
That's my point. So they get mad at these players for holding out or whatever, but this is why.
These
are the reasons you hold out, get your money when you're supposed to be able to get it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I think because he's Odell Beckham, and like I said, we don't know the exact facts of the injury, but with what we've been told, if it's just a break, a clean break, that's something, that bone's going to heal. He'll be back to being old.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. So before we move to end the first hour of the show, the NBA season is back, or will be back officially
next Tuesday.
Yeah. Next Tuesday.
Yep. What, 17th?
Yeah.
Is that 17?
And actually, we had some games last night. We talked about LeBron Cleveland played and the Lakers and forget who they played, but all of
Lakers
that.
Played the Jazz, I
think. Yeah, played the Jazz. And Rick Rubio didn't look bad at all. But
20 points, no assists. I don't know. That looks pretty bad to me. You're going to depend on Rick Rubio to put up 20 points. It's looking bad.
Kyle Kuzma.
I told y'all he's still in the draft when we saw him in Summer League. Kuzma can play,
man. He can play.
Kyle Kuzma was
still
balling.
Listen.
Still, man.
Kyle Kuzma is putting so much. Your boy Julius Randle's in trouble. He's already had to take the step back to Larry Nance because Larry Nance has now stepped in as the starting power forward and Julius Randle's coming off the bench. Now with the ascension of Kyle Kuzma is going to be potentially going to pass up both of those players as a stretch four who can actually shoot the ball from the perimeter.
Shoot it, man.
So he's a different type of four, man, and he's around the same size of those guys.
Yeah.
So he's going to step up. So Julius Randle's finna fall back to third string if he's not careful.
You can move him.
They're going to have to.
You got to move.
They're going to have to.
Him or, like you said, Nance. One of them has to go, I believe.
Because they're the same player.
Right, they're the same player.
Yeah.
And I think they're more enamored with Nance than they are with Randle because I think Randle has a little more of an edge to him, that he's a little more outspoken, and he'll probably be more of a cancer if he's not getting the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see him being moved. You know, and he might go somewhere else and play better. Who knows?
But he still has potential.
Yeah, I don't think he fits with what they're trying to do with L.A. right now.
Exactly. Because what L.A. is really
he needs to be in the East.
Exactly.
Because he's a physical
a bully.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's where
because
he needs to
Lakers
be.
Lakers want to spread the floor.
Right.
They want to be able to spread the floor.
Right.
And Kuzma can stretch it. And Randle, they say they see him shooting threes in practice. But that's a totally different thing when you're in the motion of a game.
They tried to make him their Draymond.
Yes.
You could see it. That's what they were trying to do with him. But it's not there. He just needs to be that bully like he was at UK.
Yep.
Exactly.
And let him play in the East somewhere.
I agree. All right, man. That's going to end the first hour of the show. Thanks for tuning in. Y'all on Facebook Live everywhere. And y'all who support and continue to support SRT with the Sports Roundtable. When we come back in our second hour of the show, we will talk college football for playoffs. We also will talk. Alex Smith is the leading candidate for MVP right now.
What? Say what?
We'll talk about that. And Jerry Jones met with the players again today. We're going to talk about that and the flag. And are we just really just missing the point? Or everybody just missing the point? Stop creating your own narrative. Stick to the point. You listen to Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Lakeville, AM 1100. Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com where what's real lasts forever.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker. And mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Sports Roundtable.
I had real consideration putting Clemson number one in my poll this week.
Wow.
I had real consideration.
And you can't even go home.
Yeah. Hey. It was real.
It's a first aid kit.
I know
around
that,
the corner.
Yeah. Remember the
defibrillator.
Hey,
defibrillator.
You remember the kit I was talking about testing Sammy with? You need to test D with.
You know I'm a fail. You
know it. On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Uh-oh, Brazy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T.
Yeah.
Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll top forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
We are back. Sports Roundtable. Hour number two. We're live in studio. SRT Studio, that is, overlooking Atlantic Station. H.O. Hancock, D-Wheel, the coach, and my main man, G-Money, behind the glass, dropping them beats. And if you missed the first hour of the show, please make sure you tune in to our podcast, srtradio.com. You can go back and listen to the most recent show. This will be up tonight as my main man, G-Money, who is a avid troller. And
G-Money's a troll?
If you did not notice, the Eminem track was bumping in our last segment. That's for you, 45.
45.
45.
That's for you.
And isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic? Look, Lennox Moore said. Eminem's channel on Sirius XM is Shade 405.
So, D-Will, let me go to you with this. The bars he dropped, I mean, do we need to say any more?
No, nothing has to be said. If you don't know what he's talking about, you must not own an internet because it broke the internet like Kim Kardashian taking off her clothes. You dig? So, go listen to it. He says everything that he wants to say, and a lot of the metaphors that are in there are going to go over your head. Go research it. All right. Understand what he's talking about when he says certain things, when he's talking about the trips to Donald Trump, that 4-5 is taking, and how much $36 million just going to Florida. Just Florida.
Come on, man.
36 already. Oh, little rewind. Mike Pence, his little trip to the little walkout he staged, $242,000. Taxpayers' money.
Taxpayers' money.
242.
Exactly. Taxpayers' money. Oh
my God. Pay for that. We pay for his for their grandstand.
We pay for the for the PR stunt.
There you go.
Oh, have mercy. Jesus. All right, man. We got this sports roundtable discussion coming up. So y'all, Facebookers, onlookers, and people of the sports roundtable community, y'all tune in because it's now time for the SRT roundtable discussion.
Technical difficulties, but we're still here with you.
We will be in the roundtable discussion in just a moment.
But as we wait, I will talk to you about Alabama football.
Boy, start.
Well, let me ask you about the Alabama football. The one thing that we've noticed this year is that there's not pressure with the front four this year.
Exactly.
They're having to get pressure a little bit with a little help from linebackers, maybe sending the safety. Does that worry you moving forward?
It does. It does because in years past, we've been able to just rush four and play coverage on the back end, which made those super athletic safeties like Minkah Fitzpatrick, Hootie Jones, and Ronnie Harrison, they can cover so much of the field. But now you're having to – you see Minkah Fitzpatrick up a lot around the line of scrimmage a lot, and he's doing a lot of blitzing. He had two – he had a strip sack fumble last week. So – it does concern me some, but you do see those young ends in Jefferson and Ruggs, they're starting to get pressure on the quarterback. But with Deshaun Hand being out, he's hurt right now. It's going to be an adjustment, but I think they're going to start as the season goes on because, like I say, we're just halfway through.
Right.
There it is. All right, one more time, SRT Roundtable Discussion.
The Roundtable Discussion. What are we talking about?
The Roundtable Discussion is sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a new, pre-owned, or a used car, please go to our friends at Jay's Used Cars, 3820 Lawrenceville Highway, Tucker, Georgia. Not Lawrenceville, Georgia, so don't drive all the way out there. It's not that far. You mentioned SRT or Sports Roundtable. You get a 10% discount on your down payment. So please go on over to Jay's Used Cars. Go to jaysusedcars.com for the inventory. All right, fellas. In 3 weeks, I think, they're going to start doing the college football playoff ranking. Mm-hmm. And there are eight undefeated teams that I have on this list. Alabama, Clemson, Penn State, Georgia, Washington, TCU, Wisconsin, Washington State. Basically the top eight. What four do you think make it? Well, it'd be easier just to say which other two teams?
Basically. Well, I don't know. Kelly Bryant does have an injury. So I'm interested to see if he can come back and be the quarterback that he was for Clemson going forward. Because if he has to go out for any significant amount of time, even though their schedule lines up for them right now, it's still anything on any given Saturday.
Well, let me just do it this way. With the undefeated teams only, I think if Georgia runs the table and loses and plays Alabama great in the SEC.
That's the key. It has to be a good football.
Got to be a good football. I think they still get in.
At the beginning of the year, I said I didn't think if Alabama didn't make it, I didn't think there would be another team from the SEC to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm under the impression that Georgia and Alabama are both going to go. With Oklahoma losing the way they did, I think there's no way for them to really get back into the picture. They lost a 30-point underdog at home.
Yep.
So it would have to be some major happenings for them. I think, like I said, the SEC is looking much stronger. The Big 12 kind of looks a little shaky now. Even the Pac-12, if Washington loses, they might have problems.
Well, Oklahoma have given Pac-12 life.
Yeah, but what if Washington goes down and Washington State? One of those teams isn't going to make it because they play in the Apple Cup. But if one of them, how about the winner of that game? What if they slip up and lose to somebody else?
Especially in the championship, a championship game now.
Or let's just say if Washington State beats Washington. Because I think Washington, if they run the table, I think they get in. But I could see Washington State slipping up somewhere.
And I can see them tripping Washington.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
which would cancel both of them out.
And Stanford's not going to get in. They lost to San Diego State.
The X factor here is TCU.
Yeah.
I think the X factor here is TCU. Unexpected. No one had them. They have rose to the top. They got a tough game against Kansas State this week.
That's going to be a tough one.
They got a tough game against Kansas State this week. But when it all boils down, I don't think their conferences are as strong enough.
That's why they got to go on.
And if Notre Dame, listen, if Notre Dame wins out,
man,
let's not forget. But they wouldn't get in before Georgia, though.
But this, if they both have one loss, well, yeah, they beat them head to head, so exactly. That's a good thing. That's the saving grace.
Yeah, that's the saving grace.
because one thing you always say, which you know you always come with this rise, is about money and about who people are going to want to see.
Yeah,
Notre Dame has a following.
But and here's my thing about
they're
Georgia:
they're going to get them in there.
They are. But listen, Georgia has Missouri. Then they got the outdoor cocktail party against Florida, which they should win that football game.
It's going to be a head knocker.
It's going to be a head knocker. Then they go to South Carolina, who we talked about earlier, is a roller coaster team who can pop up and beat you.
They play defense.
And they play Georgia well.
They do.
They play Georgia
well. And that's because Muschamp has a relationship with Kirby Smart. Exactly. So, listen, then they got to go to Auburn.
That's going to be the game.
Then, after that game, Kentucky comes to town. And let's rewind the tape. I picked Kentucky to go to Atlanta to play Alabama in the SEC. Kentucky's sitting there going into a bye week at 5-1 right now. Okay? So if they can somehow win out, because I think their schedule really lines up much better than Georgia's does, because that Auburn game is going to be the game that is, if Georgia wins the Auburn game, they're automatically going to, well, they got to beat
Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then they still got to play Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech, the last game of the season, which they lost two years in a row.
To me, Auburn and Georgia Tech present real minefields for Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on Auburn now for 4 weeks. And I told you, to me, if they play Clemson right now, again, they could beat Clemson because they can play defense. And the only reason they didn't score early, they moved the ball down the field and couldn't score.
Yeah.
They got their running back. They got a two-headed monster in the backfield now.
They do.
They got a big,
Petway,
and then they got a breakaway back in.
Keenan, he from Montgomery, too.
He can run it.
Keon Johnson.
Johnson. So with that two-headed monster in the backfield, Stidham is playing better. And I think he got better because he's more comfortable in the offense, and they played some lesser competition, really.
Yeah.
And it helped him get more comfortable.
And Johnson got healthy.
So Auburn is a good football team right now.
Is Penn State sitting all right? But they got to play.
What? Do you really like Penn State?
I do.
I guess I'm the only one, the odd man out on that.
I do.
But you got to understand,
they feisty.
With the Venom Big Ten,
they feisty.
It's lining up because Michigan's fell off. They're no longer in the competition. Ohio State is hanging on by a thread. But they're coming back. And they have to see them.
If anybody's like Jason, Ohio State is like Jason.
Exactly. It's hard to kill them.
Exactly.
But if they can continue to win, because when I think Penn State and Ohio State do meet.
They're going to have to meet either in the championship or either during the season, one or the other. They got a plan.
I think it's in the regular season.
It's probably coming
up in a couple weeks.
And then what about Wisconsin? Now, let's not forget about Wisconsin got a running back.
They better not thought they
were. Mr. Taylor.
Yeah.
Mr. Taylor can run the ball.
They're better than I thought they were.
I keep telling y'all about Wisconsin.
I keep wanting to put them in the same way as Iowa every year.
Yeah.
You know, Iowa, for those years, always, because they're the team, never played anybody. Then when it came time to play someone, they would fall apart.
Oh, hey, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
But listen, Penn State, woo, gauntlet time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
about. They're at Michigan this week. They're at home against Michigan. Then they got to go to Ohio State. Then they got to go to Michigan State, who just beat Michigan. So yeah, they're in gauntlet mode. If they can make it through this, you really don't like.
Did you see Northwestern Shet your boy down for 3.5 quarters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they took him away, and Penn State had trouble doing anything else. And that's my point.
Is the blueprint.
And Northwestern is not a real good defensive team. Mm-hmm. So now the blueprint is what? Take Barkley away and make Sorley beat you. Yeah. And I don't think make Sorley can beat you.
They still won 31-7, but I understand where you're coming from.
It got later. Yeah. It got ugly, but...
We're going to see because, like I say, the Big Ten, if Penn State doesn't get in there, I don't see a Big Ten team because unless, like you say, the Washington State loses and then they go and beat Washington, I just think Washington is so much more physical than Washington State, I don't think that's going to be much of a game.
You don't think it's a big game?
The physicality is so much.
They
it's
both
such a
finesse,
big
though. Geez.
It is, but Washington can play a bigger, broader ball game than Washington State.
Washington State has small defensive linemen, but they're fast. And if you watch them play, they put a lot of pressure. They just rush. Now, like you said, running the ball. If Washington is physical and runs the ball on, you're right.
Yeah, like they played against Stanford.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
All right, so let's go to the one-loss teams. And the one-loss teams, you know, obviously they're trying to get back into the Big Four. Ohio State, one loss. The road back for them, Penn State, Michigan. Oklahoma. They have to play Oklahoma State, TCU, and West Virginia.
I think Oklahoma's shot. Yeah, I think they can only be a spoiler in the Big 12.
Exactly.
And that's spoiling TCU or somebody in the championship if they don't play them in the regular season.
Exactly. Auburn, another one-loss team. They lost to Clemson. And they have to beat Georgia, or they play Georgia in Alabama. USC lost to Washington State. They also have to play.
They play Washington this year?
No.
Who was that?
USC.
USC.
They play Notre Dame.
Yeah, they play Notre Dame.
And they don't play Washington? Do they play? They beat Oregon already?
USC has.
Yeah, we can check that.
Yeah, I got them up right now.
They play Utah, don't they?
Yeah, they got Utah this week. They got Utah this week. Then they got Notre Dame. Then they're at Arizona State. Then Arizona comes. Then they're at Colorado in the end of the season with UCLA.
Notre Dame.
Utah and Notre Dame. USC, UCLA, that's what I mean. You have that rival game. It's always.
Yeah.
It could be whatever.
And Notre Dame. Notre Dame goes to Miami and Stanford.
Okay. Stanford is playing better.
Oklahoma State rolled back. Back-to-back road games against Texas and West Virginia.
When do they play?
Then they play the 4th of November.
That's Bedlam?
Yep.
Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm. And then Michigan.
Like you said, they got Penn State this week.
Penn State, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. So out of those one-loss teams, who do you think makes it back, if possible?
I think it's Ohio State. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's Ohio State. Auburn has too much of a road to hoe. Mm-hmm.
The LSU game this weekend is going to be big.
See, they got LSU, they got Georgia, Alabama.
And the SEC championship game.
It's too much. Even though they're good, they're going to hurt somebody.
They can spoil it.
It's too much for them to overcome. If they do, they deserve to go to the 4.
Yeah.
They honestly do.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you like this. I think
I'm going to ride with hand on Ohio State.
They're the highest ranked one-loss team.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give y'all a sleeper who is waiting in the wings that if they can win 2 games, they'll be on point. And they have the best defensive line in the country. North Carolina State.
They are actually on here.
That South Carolina lost early.
It is. But listen, they can come back and they got at Notre Dame.
Clemson on the floor.
Clemson at the house. Yeah. They got him at home.
How good are they? I've seen them play, and I'm not impressed with the offense as much. They're kind of herky-jerky. They have Samuels, I think is his name, mm-hmm. is the best player they have on that offense.
But here's the thing about it.
They use him everywhere.
But they put up big numbers. The only game they didn't score over 30 points was the FSU game, and they put up 27.
Yeah.
And they have, like I say, they have the best defensive line in the country. So I think, like I say, at Notre Dame, Clemson, then they got BC, Wake, and then the North Carolina game at the end of the season. They're set up if they can get both of those games, especially that Clemson game, mm-hmm. and knock Clemson out, North Carolina State can sneak it to the four out of the ACC.
Yeah.
I mean, they possibly could. I'm not arguing that. They could. Especially if they get that. If they put Clemson on their resume,
exactly.
Win against Clemson helps a lot. No doubt about it. I think, though, like I said, the name that carries weight, my two, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Those two carry so much weight, especially if Georgia keeps winning, because that helps Notre Dame, you know.
Oh, yeah, immensely. Because of that
one loss to that team.
They'll give Notre Dame is one of those teams they give the benefit of the doubt. Exactly. They give them that's a good loss.
That's a good loss.
Yeah. Listen, you got anything to add to anything, G?
We'll just ask if do you think that Notre Dame still has that prestige to where they'll get that? If they have a chance to be in the Final Four, the committee will put them in there. That's, you know, kind of like when they made the national championship
favoritism.
Game
yeah.
a few years ago.
Just keep
like,
calling
oh,
them.
Let's put Notre Dame in because, right. you know, they're undefeated. You know, they play a non-conference schedule, right. which is
and
supposed
Manti
to be the
And Manti had a great story.
Well, let me ask y'all this, though. I think they still do have it to answer your question. Alabama go bring a crowd, Clemson. So they still have it, but – let's think about it like this. So don't roll your eyes, but just listen to it like this.
Uh-oh.
Is Notre Dame, can they actually be considered a ACC team?
That's what they play. That's the conference that they
and
play against.
Everything except yes. football.
But they're not exactly. going to because yeah. they stand alone as a TV contract.
They play BC. They play North Carolina. They got North Carolina State. They got Wake Forest. They got Miami. That's an ACC schedule. That's six ACC games.
They play an ACC schedule every year. That's what they do. But they're not going to get into a conference.
Oh, I know that, but I'm just saying.
Long as father wears them robes, I can assure you it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, in the ACC schedule, you know, it kind of lends its hand to Notre Dame at some point because they not playing no heavy hitters in the ACC.
Not this year. They played Florida State last year, and they played who else did they play this year? Name the ACC schools they play this year.
They played BC.
No.
North Carolina.
No.
They still got North Carolina State.
Yes.
Wake Forest.
No.
They got to go to Miami.
Yes.
And that's it.
So that's two decent teams out of ACC that they'll be playing.
And they put Georgia on the schedule this year, so that helps. But they lost the game. Yeah. And that was
so
at home.
That's three legit football teams
and
that they play.
And they
still play
got
Navy
Stanford.
Too, right?
Navy. And they still got Stanford.
And the more the
and
more
USC. Stanford and USC. So and they play a good schedule.
And the more that Georgia wins, that looks it good helps. For Notre Dame.
They got they got USC
and
this
And vice versa. The more Notre Dame wins, it looks better for Georgia.
21st.
So they may end up trying to select between Georgia and Notre Dame.
Yeah, if Notre Dame runs that table, they're in the four.
Do you think they can
you
beat?
Believe that.
Do you think they can beat USC this weekend?
Yes,
at USC in the Coliseum.
That boy throw to everybody who got a jersey on, not just his team.
Okay,
Donald would throw it to you.
I told y'all he was a
I get it up. He is. He was touted as something he's not. Well, he is. He's a USC quarterback.
Yes. Bingo.
A lot of hype.
Bingo.
A lot of hype. All right. Let's move on to one of G's favorite team, the Kansas City Chiefs. And Alex Smith, if you read SB Nation, they have him right now as the front runner, NFL MVP. Alex Smith is 26-4 in his last 30 regular season games. He has 11 touchdowns this season, zero interceptions, and his completion percentage is 76%. Mm-hmm. And they're undefeated. Yep. Agree or disagree, him being the front runner?
He has the numbers. He has the team. And I think he has to be the front runner. He and his teammate, Kareem Hunt. So I think either of those guys right now on the best team, they both contribute. Hunt is balling.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Before Fournette went off last week, he was far and away the leading rusher in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think Fournette with 181 kind of helped his cause a little bit. I think he gained a little ground on it. But I can't go against anything that Alex Smith is doing right now. I mean, but Kansas City right now is so hard to defend.
Yeah.
They run so many variations of offense. They run option plays. They run almost wishbone type stuff. They run, you know, they have a tight end that'll play quarterback and he might option.
And the West Coast, it's a variation of the West Coast, but Andy Reid is so creative.
But you got some of the fastest little people on the field and they just all over the place. You got, I mean, 13 fast, 10 fast.
Anthony Thomas.
Tyreek Hill.
12 runs fast. They lost.
Albert Lewis, I think.
17 broke his foot or popped his, the boy from George.
Conley.
Ran a 4.2 in the combine, a 4.3 in the combine.
And you got the best tight end, one of the best tight, top two tight ends in the game.
If you ever watch the, what's that TNT show? Nails. What is the nail salon? Anyway,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They I know got what you're talking about.
The dude, the white guy on there, Roller, mm-hmm. That's him.
That's him.
That's he's yeah. Roller. Yeah. For real. Yeah. I'm telling you, he is. But yeah, man, Kansas City, man, is the fastest. And you have to defend at every level.
Exactly.
They can beat you out of the backfield. They can beat you from the tight end position. They can beat you from the wide out position. Then the special teams game they got. Yep. So I just, right now, they're so hard to defend, you don't know where to go to start.
And they still got that killer defense. But the thing, what used to be the knock on Alex Smith? He was too conservative, and he doesn't throw it downfield. You see him now with wide receivers like Tyreek Hill, who can take the top off the defense. You see Alex Smith going deep.
Yep.
And he's still throwing it at 76% clip.
That's what I mean. You got to defend the whole field. You got to defend it lateral. You got to defend it vertically.
And a rookie running back out of Toledo, who was a fourth round pick, leading to 609 yards already with four touchdowns. And if you were to go deep into his stats, his yards after first contact, he's averaging 124 yards a game. I think 121 are after first contact per game.
Mm.
So it's insane what, like you say, that offense is multi-dimensional. It's very hard to guard, and you still got Tom Bailey on the other end that's causing havoc to all quarterbacks. So, and even with Eric Berry popping his Achilles and going out, you still hadn't seen them lose a step in the secondary.
Yeah, they ain't lost a step, and their two-point conversion play was never seen that before. But anyway, G, Alex Smith, your MVP right now?
No.
Can't do it.
I would say like Andy Reid, Coach of the Year, mm-hmm. Kareem Hunt, Rookie of the mm-hmm. Year. I understand Alex Smith hasn't thrown an interception. That's not going to last too much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And for me right now, I would put more Kareem Hunt as the MVP.
Okay.
Because of what he
provides.
For what he provides, and he's brought a consistent running attack for Kansas City, which they didn't have last year, not having Jamaal Charles and kind of just piecing things together with their running game. But now they have a guy who's healthy and just come in there. It opens up a lot of things for them to where they can run those triple options, which I still can't believe is working in the NFL.
Exactly.
Got to defend.
All right, real quick, let's go through the Falcons. What can they do better this week? I would say the defense still kind of letting us down. They are fast, but they got to get out of the field. Falcons have to learn how to get out of the field faster. They are getting some pieces back this week.
That's key.
Rico Allen getting back. Beasley, I think, possibly.
Maybe. Don't bring him back quick. Let me make sure he's healthy.
But the Schrader will be back. So those are some key players that will be back. But I think the defense have to get off the field. And the more maybe this bye week helps the chemistry and what's going on the offensive end. But the balance of everything needs to be a little more balanced with the defense. With the offense, because you couldn't expect the offense to do to duplicate what they did last year. We put most of our marbles on the defense and hoping that they would get better and show some flashes. We got 12 sacks, but we've also given up 2nd and 19, 2nd and 17.
And that's understandable, but like you say, once the pieces come back, because they are banged up on the defensive end. And I think a bigger key than all that for the Falcons is Matt Ryan. He's going to have to stop. He has 5 picks in his last 2 games. He has to stop throwing the ball to the other team, because when they play clean and Matt Ryan is clean, that's when they're at their most effective. Now, it does hurt that Sanu will be out this week. He's not going to be there. Julio is still.
He'll be back, though.
He's playing, but he's not at 100%. So you're really having to depend on a small Justin Harden, an even smaller Taylor Gabriel. But we do see Matt Ryan. What's the kid? Just pulled up. Number 14, wide receiver.
That's Hardy.
Yeah, that's J.J. Hardy.
J.J. Hardy.
Yeah. They need to use the tight end.
We're going to have to use Austin Hooper.
Yeah.
We're going to have to, because he's a big body, and like all your big possession receivers with Sanu and Julio not being 100%, it's going to be hard for him.
What I see with the Falcons is, like I said, when you're the hunted, people got things that they want to do. They're going to try to take away what you do best, which is Julio. With the Falcons, I think you're still in a growth or learning process with the offense coordinator. This bye week should have helped that a little bit.
I agree.
A little more continuity with the offensive line. I think you have to go more 70-30 with your running back position. I think you're being too generous giving both of them about the same amount of time. Sure. I think Devontae has earned the right to be on the field at least 70%. And the other thing is, when we saw them last year, they threw the ball to the running backs a little bit more out of the backfield. So I think you got to incorporate that, at least to the side where they're doubling Julio, so you can get that matchup and get that running back one-on-one with a linebacker or with a safety in space. And I think you will see some things happen. I do think you need to get Hooper more involved. But I think it's more of getting more comfortable with what Matt is comfortable with the offense coordinator. Yeah. And as far as the defense is concerned, it's just like Dallas. Dallas defense played well, and Atlanta's defense played well. And the reason they played well is because the offense put up points.
Exactly.
Or it took time. In Dallas' case, it kept the defense off the field. In Atlanta was, you could book 30 points in the game.
Right.
So what that did was make the other offense one-dimensional, which your defense went out there and just rushed the pass.
Right.
And they're not getting that benefit this year.
Exactly. Did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, real quick. Don't get cute in the red zone.
Right.
With look at that play against the Bills, that fourth down play. I can't remember which receiver it was.
With the Hardy.
Right. Okay. Running the wrong route, but even going back to the Detroit game.
Oh yeah, Hardy ran around.
You know, if you're running the ball so successfully and you get into the red zone, keep running the ball. And if they score to get a touchdown, that game is over.
Right.
So don't get cute. And don't be afraid to hand Devontae or Tevin Coleman the football.
I agree.
And Nick Williams was the wide receiver.
And actually, Sanu got to catch the ball in the red zone too, because that hurt and it turned into an interception. All right. Now it's time to move on to this. You know, let me just preface it like this. This has, to me, been one of the most disappointing five game stretches of football, NFL football, because of all of the everything that's going along with this. You can't even enjoy the game without mentioning the flag, mentioning the anthem, mentioning players kneeling, things of that nature. We can't even get real analysts to analyze the game because of the disturbance that we have that's circling the NFL. And in each game, it's a different narrative, it seems. The man took a stand for injustices. He went to a veteran military guy to ask him, how can I show respect to the military and also do a silent peace protest at the same time? The veteran military guy said, take a knee. Exactly what he did. And this has spun out of control until, with disrespecting the flag, the owners had gotten threatened by 45. Now they're afraid to lose money, so they want to pretend to be with the players. But now, from what we're hearing this week,
from a couple of teams, and especially Jerry Jones, now you want to take the First Amendment rights away just to save the money. I care more about my money than I do about your First Amendment right. How is that? Why do we even have a First Amendment right if we can't use it? It has to be something in the bylaws of the NFL that says, and to me, they make it up rules. Now, they are going, I think, next week, they are going to go to the rule book or the NFL handbook and change the wording.
Yeah, there's
going to have a meeting.
An owner's meeting. But in the rule book, it says that players should stand for the national anthem.
Right.
So it's a suggestion.
Exactly. Now you're saying that they want to change it to it's a requirement.
They want to make it like the NBA, you have to stand. And they want to have that. But still with the NBA, they're still a little more liberal in a sense because
More liberal.
Yeah, because players can express themselves in other ways. It's not just through the national anthem.
Right.
But the NFL, with those players, it's really all they have.
Right.
Go ahead, Han.
I'm gonna let y'all go.
What you said is really that in a nutshell. It's not that we have skewed the message. The powers that be have successfully skewed the message. The message hadn't changed. The message was black people and people of color get the short end of the stick. And they have successfully messed this whole thing up and put all this confusion in it. And what they've done now is use this as a rallying point for that base that got him in office, mm-hmm. is the same base that says you disrespecting the flag. Mm-hmm. Because when they do these polls and they say who's against it and who's with it, people of color and black people are for the protest of the anthem. And the other side, which is the majority, which that's why they keep saying about, well, the majority is saying that they're against this protest. Well, no, this unifying thing that's supposedly the national anthem.
Right.
But it's unifying because you said it's unifying. You see what I'm saying? You stipulated that this happens. Nobody went along with this in the African-American community and said, okay, this is something we need to do. This was something that was put on, you know, and said, this is what happens.
Right.
Okay, so go along with it. Now, a protest, like I've said hundreds of times, is not supposed to be peaceful. I mean, not supposed to be pleasant or comfortable. It's an uncomfortable situation. That's why it's a protest. That's why you look at it and say, oh, son, he's upset over there. Mm-hmm. Something wrong. That's what it's about.
People of color, these athletes, to protest the right way. You keep hearing that, but we don't know what that is.
Exactly.
Right. I can't do it peacefully and quietly.
I heard one great thing, and this was on the Cowherd show, when Rob Parker. When they said, well, everybody is against the protest. He said, well, what about black people? Don't they count?
Exactly.
They buy the DirecTV package. They buy jerseys. We do a lot of buying because we don't own nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Black people don't own nothing. Mm-hmm. Let's be real.
Keep it real.
We don't own. We're consumers. So we're consuming your product too. But our dollar really don't matter because they're saying, no, we're going to go the other way because they got the money. You see what I'm saying? So our dollars and our insult, us being insulted doesn't matter.
Right.
Well,
it does.
Jerry Jones and his stance.
One more thing before you go.
Yeah.
I'm right now giving up my Cowboy fandom, to be honest with you. It don't mean nothing or whatever, but I'm being real. I have taken off the stock. With what he did the other day, telling about he's going to force players to do this, I'm done.
Right.
I honestly, and tell you how done I was, I took the Packers last week and won. So I'm just being real. For him to come out and say that he's going to do whatever to his players when they're within their rights,
In the rights.
Within their rights. And he's going to say, if you don't stand, you're not going to play. I'm done. Cowboys, whatever.
And before you go, D-Will.
Be real.
He would rather sign a guy who assaulted his wife, threw her on the bed with assault rifles, and paid him. But I'm trying to use my First Amendment right, but you go make me not do that. Go ahead, D.
Yeah, and if you can go out there to the SRT Facebook page at SRT Radio, and you can check out a video of Mr. Jerry Jones. Just go watch the video.
I believe it.
Okay, but back to his stance about wanting to force his players to stand and salute the flag. Everybody who listens to the show knows my stance, okay? You know how I feel. But Jerry Jones is since trying to backtrack from that. And he had a closed-door meeting with the players today trying to explain what he meant. Not much was said what was came out of that meeting. But the media did catch up with Orlando Scandrick, all right, our defensive back for the Dallas
Cowboys.
Number 32. Number 32.
Dre's man.
Exactly. Dre's lucky.
Yeah.
Dre's man. They catch him at his locker after the meeting, and he is playing the song FDT. All right, FDT is a song by two West Coast rappers, Nipsey Hussle and YG. And you can put it together what it stands for, okay? Orlando Scandrick's playing that song at his locker today. So he was asked what came out of the meeting with Jerry Jones. And he says, nothing different than what I thought. So he did. They didn't say that he is not going to not let players play if they protest. But he is saying nothing has changed. Meaning he's probably still putting a threat on them. Now he is being investigated and something has been a grievance has been filed mm-hmm. against him from the Players Association. Texas. Exactly. So it's going to get ugly because he let Donald Trump reel him in. Mm-hmm. And for Donald Trump and, like I said earlier, Vice President Mike Pence, for them to be staging a war against the NFL when you got Kim Jong-un, you got Puerto Rico, you got Houston, you got Florida, you got all these, you got California with the fires. You got so much natural disaster that you're sitting here worried about and you're convoluting the conversation that we're not stupid. We know what we're talking about. We're talking about the injustice of black people and people of color in the United States, here domestically on our own streets. To make this about a flag and about the military, just shows that how far we have to go. Because with this particular leadership in order right now, we're not going to be able to get far. Because he's going old school Hitler propaganda. All right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave it at old school Hitler propaganda. Look up the propaganda that Hitler put out back in the days. It's the same thing, just he's using Twitter.
And he got 36 African-American players on his team, the Cowboys. Why don't you just say I'm talking to them?
Hold on, 36. How many? It's only 53 that come on the field, and 36 of them black.
Yeah. And this is the part that gets me. It's almost like they're saying, or almost like it's being pushed upon us as if, well, you had a black president. You've had some black quarterbacks.
Racism is over.
Exactly.
Oh, wait a minute.
That should be enough.
Mike Ditka said.
Yeah.
And he hadn't seen any oppression in 100 years.
He was drinking.
100 years?
Let's just laugh and keep it moving.
That's crazy.
Listen, man. This.
You know what this is all about, though, right? Donald Trump wants to be an NFL owner.
Right.
Yeah.
He tried to buy the Bills.
It's about that, and it's about rallying his base. Remember, yeah, now, we're talking about a president whose approval rating was in the 30s. Mm-hmm. And all this did was get people back in his corner. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is political. That's all this is about. Because now, not only did he go after certain people, he went after the NFL. He's talking about taxing the NFL. Talking about all these points that he's trying to push his agenda through. Mm-hmm. And these, all this is to get people back on his tip, because he was losing, he was starting to lose his own a little bit.
Because he, you saw, when have you seen a president in his term go do town hall meetings and rallies? They don't do that. They'll stand in the Rose Garden. He's campaigning while he's already in office. Yeah. You're supposed to do that from the Rose Garden or from the Oval Office. You understand?
Yeah, I agree.
But this is political, crazy, man. That's all it is, political.
Hey, man, we're going to take a quick one-minute break. When we get back, we're going to wrap this thing up. Boy, I tell you, the NFL needs some help. We need some prayer. Fortified need to get up out of him so we can get back to some normalcy. You listen to Sports Roundtable and SRTRadio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
Tune your radio.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune in to this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy.
From over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com.
Or your app store.
Sports Roundtable.
Jim Harbaugh gets a small amount of $4,000 from Nike to buy gear for him and his staff, but the wardrobe of Jim Harbaugh is rather limited, as he wears khakis that his wife buys for him, and he'll wear a Michigan sweater or shirt or whatever. PJ Fleck at Minnesota gets $49,000 annually to buy gear.
Bruh, they get free gear already. They got sweatsuits, shoes, t-shirts. They get everything free. So you give them another $50,000 to go buy more stuff? PJ Fleck just got a D1 job. He don't need no shoes.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Sports Roundtable back. Down for the home stretch. We got a game tomorrow. The Eagles in Carolina. Hancock, who you got?
I'm with Cam, baby. Carolina's playing better football. Winston's playing well, but I think Carolina's defense and with what Cam has been able to do with his receivers now, Ed Dixon get involved. I'm going to take Cam. They're at home also, right?
Yeah, they are. All right, D-Will.
I'm going to roll with Cam also because, like I say, Cam came into the season hurt, banged up with the shoulder coming off the all season. Looks like he's now starting to roll into form right around midway almost. I like Carolina. Even though, like I say, the Eagles are playing well.
Eagles are some frauds. Fraudy, fraud, frauds. So clearly I'm picking the Panthers.
All right. I think Carolina win. I don't want them to win, but I do think if the Eagles show up, I think the fraudness probably can go away in this game, because I think the Eagles probably is the most slept on team in that NFC East. I think they can show some good they almost kind of remind you of Kansas City, because I think the coach is over there from Kansas City, right?
Who's that?
Over at Philadelphia. Yeah,
Peterson.
Yeah, Peterson. Yeah. They kind of remind you of Kansas City. I think LeGarrette Blount helps them. They lost the other Sproles, but Clemens has come in and showed some good signs and things of that nature. So I think it'll be a tight game. I think Carolina will win. Don't want them to, but I think they'll win. So, and that's going to be that. But we'll see. Hopefully the Falcons do their thing Sunday, and then that's that. But listen, we're about to get up out of here. I got to give a shout-out to all the loyal listeners and the Facebook followers. Thank y'all for listening and following us all the time and continue to support. Shout-out to my main man, D. Will. Glad you're back, bro. Love you.
Weezy.
Came back with some more energy and doing this thing, so I appreciate that. And, man, thanks for everybody who follow us. Please continue to follow us at SRTRadio.com on the website and at SRT Radio on social media.
Shout out Facebook Live. Y'all know your names. Baby, I'm on the way home. D. Will.
Hey, Facebook Live. Appreciate y'all, man. Appreciate all the prayers that I got during my hiatus. Shout out to my wife, baby. I love you. G-Money.
Shout out to my mom and dad who listen every week. Shout out to everyone who joined me on Facebook Live. I did try it. And, yeah, that's it.
All right, man. You know how we do it. SRT, baby. Same bat time, same bat channel next week. Man, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
They call me coach because I teach you how to ball.
It's your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
Do y'all think Oprah's had a $5 bill in her hand? When was the last time you think she had a $5 bill?
Ooh.
We go.
Peace.